Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Now here's a message from our senior pastor, Brian Bond.
All right, how's everybody doing today? That's good. We're starting, we're continuing in our series called Killer Bunnies. And last week I had some bunnies, because they're nasty. And this week we're going to talk about things that actually kind of feel good on the front end, but you can regret them later. And so I've got a Reese's peanut butter egg bunny, or Reese's peanut butter. And that thing weighs like a ton. It's going to be delicious, but it probably has like 25,000 calories. So you can guess why the regret comes with that. But anyway, I did want to talk to you about something real quick before we get into the message. And as you know, in 2 weeks is Easter. And we do an Easter egg hunt on Saturday in between the two services. And we need candy for the Easter eggs. And we're going to do about 5,000 of those. And so we have some, but we need quite a bit more candy in particular. And just remember, it's the little eggs, okay? So this would not fit in the little egg. Dum-dums do not fit in the little egg, because then we would have to cut off part of the little, you know, handle, and that wouldn't be good. And also, like, we don't want, like, loose candy. Like, don't bring us a big bag of jelly beans, because, you know, parents get home and go, ooh, this is not sterile, and throw it all away. So we don't want to do that to the kids. And they're crying because they got their candy thrown away, and it's a bad Easter. And we don't want anybody to have a bad Easter. So individually wrapped candies that fit inside the little plastic eggs. You can drop them off here at the church. And so when you go, because some of y'all are like, I'm going to get me one of them bunny rabbits. So I know y'all thinking that. So when you go pick up a Reese's peanut butter rabbit, pick up some little candies to put in the eggs for Easter. It's for the children, okay? So we'd appreciate your help in that. And no Smarties, because they don't fit in there either, just in case you didn't know. And I also wanted to, you know, just share a praise with you. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Ronnie gave a message on giving. And last week, our offering, including what was given to the building fund, was over $200,000. And so, amen, praise the Lord. And so we're excited about the, you know, the help that gives us going forward, and pray you'll continue to prayerfully give, as we will. And we appreciate that, and wanted to thank the Lord for that today with y'all and celebrate. All right, killer bunnies. This week, we're going to start out in Psalm 141. If you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, I'm going to read the entire psalm in just a moment. And we're going to look at a couple of three things that are at the outset seem innocent, and maybe even kind of give us a good feeling on the beginning parts of it, but that have consequences down the road. And so we're going to begin in Psalm 141, and if you'd please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Oh Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is a soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. But I pray constantly against the wicked and their deeds. When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, the wicked will listen to my words and find them true. Like rocks brought up by a plow, the bones of the wicked will lie scattered without burial. I look to you for help, O sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Keep me from the traps they have set for me, from the snares of those who do wrong. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but let me escape. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the first thing we're going to talk about are talking bunnies. You ever had a talking bunny? That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? But one of the things, the bunnies, the killer bunnies in our lives, are the things that we say. And the Bible talks a lot, you know, about things that we should talk about, things we should say. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should make the most of every opportunity to share Jesus, to talk about him, to give glory to God. But you know what? The Bible also talks a lot about the fact that there are times we should be quiet. And so one of the first things in this psalm we just read was David saying to God, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." And there are several times in Scripture, we're going to look at a few, where it talks about guarding what we say, or in fact, even just being silent. And in 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7, it talks about, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." You know, too many times we feel like that what we say is the result of what someone else has done or said to us. But the fact is that we should have control. We should exercise self-control. You know, a lot of the regrets that we have are, there's two different kinds. Number one, the things we wish we'd said. You know, maybe we wish we'd have told somebody we loved them, or maybe we wish we'd have told them about Christ. But on the other side, a lot of the regrets that we have are the things that we said that we wish we hadn't. You know, there's this thing that once you say something, you can ask forgiveness for it, you can be sorry about it, but you can't ever really take it back. And there can be a lot of regrets with saying things that we wish we hadn't said. And sometimes in the moment, it feels really good, doesn't it? We're angry or we're hurt. And so we say something to hurt back. We say something to express that anger. And there's a little bit of pleasure that comes with that. But there also comes a lot of regret. And so the Bible tells us to have self-control. And what do we have without self-control? It's patient endurance. That we need to learn how to endure sometimes what people say to us and what is done to us. You know, we live in this culture now where it's glorified to take people down with this zinger or whatever. You say something to them that everybody, man, you really got them, blah, blah, blah. But those are probably times we should exercise self-control and learn how to say nothing. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:7, there is a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak. And you know what? Most of my regrets come from saying things that I wish that I hadn't. There's times that I wish I'd just kept my mouth shut. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, thank you. Give me amen. Everybody's like, I'm being quiet because he's talking about being quiet. Now you're listening. I got you. All right. But anyway, another time is sometimes we spout off about things when we don't know 100%. And that's become a national pastime. Something happens and everybody pops out with an opinion. And then we find out it wasn't nearly what we thought it was in the first place. And the Bible tells us about that in Proverbs 18:13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. And so what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be good listeners. You know, that's something that we've lost really in our society, is the ability to really listen, to sit down and have a conversation with someone and to understand where they're coming from. You ever had a conversation with somebody and you can tell they're not really listening, they're just waiting to say something back to you? Have you ever been that person? That's not listening. That's arguing or trying to get ahead of somebody. We need to learn how to really listen to people. It says in Proverbs 17, 27 through 28, a truly wise person uses few words. My staff quotes that to me every week after I go over in one of these services. A truly wise person, no, they don't really do that. They probably should. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. You ever heard the phrase, you know, it's better to be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt? That comes from Proverbs. Some of y'all are going to like, wait a minute, hold on, I'm going to think about that. You'll get it on the way home, it's all right. But here's the deal. Sometimes when we're silent, we don't say anything, people think, they can think more of us than we really are sometimes. And we need to learn how to sometimes choose not to speak. Guess what? One of the things I've learned every subject does not need my opinion added to it. You know, I know I've just destroyed social media right there, but anyway, that's how it is. We need to learn that a wise person uses few words. Now, as believers, there are times we need to stand up for things, but we also need to understand when that right time is. And when we're tearing down someone else, that's not standing up. Jesus didn't do that. He talked about sin, but he always loved the people even that he was talking to about it. And so we need to learn that the only harsh words Jesus ever had were for religious people. People that were the tax gatherers, the harlots, he was always kind and gentle with them, even as he spoke truth. You know, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he said, look, he said, does no one condemn you? You know, after he told them, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And she said, no one. And he said, then neither do I. But then he said, gently, go and sin no more. So he was truthful, but not unkind. And we need to learn how to do the same thing. And here's one of the, James 1, 19 through 20. This is something that really kind of struck me this week. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Now, I don't know about you, but I have like a super max turbo get mad button. Anybody else? There's times when it's like I push that button and I'm instantly mad. Somebody says something, somebody does something, and boom, I'm instantly mad. And then there's this tendency to go, well, you made me mad. That's wrong. That's false. You want to know why? No one can make you mad. You know how I know that? Because right here in this passage of scripture, it says, you must be slow to get angry. Now, anytime the Bible gives us a command, we can control it. We can do it. It is possible for us to follow that command. So God wouldn't tell us to be, through his word, to be slow to get angry if we couldn't help ourselves. And we feel that way sometimes, don't we? Well, you know, if you hadn't done that, you're the one who caused this, or that caused it, or this person doing that caused it. I mean, I understand I'm not, you know, we've had all kinds of road rage incidents that are absolutely horrific. But there's probably not any of us in here that does not understand how angry you can get when you're driving, particularly around this county. Anybody else? People do not move over into the slow. You know you're supposed to move into the slow lane when you ain't passing somebody. Y'all know that? And the one other thing, I'm just going to get this out here. This might be a shock to some of you, but how many of you realize that the on-ramp is so that you can increase your speed to equal the speed of those who are on the interstate? Thank you. There's things that make us all mad. But here's the bottom line with that. Getting mad is our choice. We can choose not to. Now, so whatever area that is where you feel like it's that, you know, man, they did that and it made me mad, that's wrong. We're choosing because we can choose through self-control to control our emotion and choose not to get mad. And so nobody gets to say, you made me get mad, because we always have a choice. And that's one of the hard things to get. But we've got to understand that our words and our language, and you know what? Sometimes it feels good to get things out. You know, you get that in there and you let it all out, and it feels good for just a second. Man, I said what I had to say, blah, blah, blah. But then when you realize the impact that it has on the people that you've let it out on, then you see what damage you've caused. And it's better to not let it out in the first place. And it can be really difficult, but it's not impossible. Look, he says, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. It's not a, Hey, you know what? Here's something you might want to try. It's a command. We have to learn. I got to do better at that. We have to learn that we're in control. It's a trap. Because sometimes it feels like, man, I got to get it out. It feels better when I get it out. Well, find some other way. Go outside and pound the ground or something. Whatever you do, but don't take it out on other people. Learn how to control it. God commands us to control it. Now, the second thing, the second bunny we're looking at today, but this thing weighs like a pound. I'm telling you, y'all need to go buy one of these because you're going to get your money's worth. I swear this is the heaviest piece of candy I've ever. It's got peanut butter. Chocolate and peanut butter are the absolute best. Am I right? The rest of y'all can repent and figure that out later. All right. But there are traps the enemy sets for us. And you know what? When you think about it, let's think about bunnies for a minute. There are people that trap animals or whatever. And what do? They put something out there that the animal wants, the bunny wants, that maybe he's even hunting for. He's hunting something to eat or whatever. And they make it easy for him, and it looks all good. They disguise everything around it that would be a trap that would kill him. And they think, hey, that's what I'm looking for. And they go for it, not realizing how much it's going to cost us. And in this passage in Psalm 141, verses 9 through 10, it says, keep me from the traps they have set for me, from the snares of those who do wrong. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but let me escape. You know, there are all kinds of traps that the enemy puts out there. But there are some things that are similar. And usually those traps are disguised as something that we need or that we want. You know, maybe you're looking for a job and you've been praying and asking that God would provide you so that you could take care of your family. And you've been asking for the right job. And here's the thing. Anything that is worth waiting, that is worth asking God for, is going to be worth waiting for. But most of us don't like to wait. And in the in-between time, there's going to come an opportunity. There's going to be a counterfeit nearly every time that the enemy is going to offer you during the in-between time. And that is a trap. You have to be really careful. You know, my two-year-old granddaughter, she was at our house the other day. And we have puzzles for her, you know, to give her something to do. And so she's in there playing with this puzzle. And there's a spot for a pig, and she had a cow, and she's trying to put the cow in the pig spot, you know. And she just kept turning it around thinking, well, I can make this fit. I can get this in here. And she kept trying. And then she started banging on it, trying to get it in there. And you're like, well, it doesn't go there. It goes here. And she goes, okay. But we do the exact same thing. We pray for something, and then something comes along, and okay, it's like similar, but it doesn't fit. And what do? We try to make it fit. You know, I've seen people wreck their entire families by taking a job. They were praying and asking God for a way to provide for their family, and some job came along, but it wasn't the right job. And I've watched as people of discernment has said, man, don't do this. Don't take this job. Well, it's what I've been praying for. It's an opportunity to make a living. It's not what you've been praying for. You were praying for something that would do this, this, and this, something that you could support your family and that you could lead your family. And this one's going to take you on the road for 6 months at a time. That's not a good recipe. And so people, because it's kind of close. I've seen people all the time, well, I'm praying for a godly young man or godly young woman to come along. You know, I want to have a relationship. I want to get married. I want to have a family. Well, so, hey, how's that going? Well, I'm dating this guy. I said, well, is he a godly guy? Well, he told me he'd come to church if I wanted him to. And I'm like, you went from a godly person who's leading spiritually, who's following Jesus on their own is what you were asking for, to somebody who's willing to come to church just so they can date you. That ain't the same thing. You know, well, what about, you know, have you found, well, I found this girl. Well, how's she doing? Well, I mean, you know, she's doing a lot of community service for her sentence, you know, and so she serves people. I'm like, dude, what is going on here? But that's what we do, is we try to make it fit. You know, my wife would be one to talk to about that. I'm not a list maker. Anybody else in here? I can't stand making lists. Even when I know I'm probably should make more lists than I do. I'll even make a list on my phone. My wife say, hey, get this, this, and this at the store. I'll make the list and I'll totally forget the list that I even have it. And I'll go and forget half of what she asked me to buy. I mean, and that's not because of the old days. I did that when I was in my 20s. So it's the same. But she makes lists, exhaustive lists of everything. And so she had a list about what she was looking for in a husband, you know, and she was living in a place where she's like, I'm never going to meet him here. And then God sent me to a place where I was like, well, I'm never going to meet a girl there. And he brought us together. And her list, she had some specific things. She wanted somebody that was taller than her, 6'5", boom. She wanted somebody, her whole life, you know, she'd grown up and her maiden name was Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And her school did everything alphabetically. And so she was always like the last one called. She wanted somebody at the front of the alphabet. Bond. I don't remember everything that was on. I'm pretty sure, you know, somebody that was really incredibly handsome was on there. And boom, she got that. So, you know, hey, I know y'all going to forget my name somewhere down the line. I just remember, you know, if you remember me, just remember, hey, that really, really good-looking pastor we used to have. Even if you don't remember my name, it's all right. Come on now. I'm kidding, mostly. But here's the thing. A trap is going to look attractive. You know, when you read that passage, you say, oh, yeah, trap, man. That's meant to kill you. But traps are always meant to deceive. And so when we're asking God for something, we got to be patient and wait until what comes along fits God's promises, God's word, and what it is that we're asking him for. Now, am I saying it's going to be 100%? Probably not. But it's going to be so close to exactly what you've asked for and exactly what God's promised you, if God's told you he's going to fulfill that promise, that you're going to know it when it comes along. You know, I've been praying for a wife for a long time. My wife had been praying for a husband for several years. Do you know what? Let me tell you what we did. We dated for like 3 or 4 days in person. She went on a mission trip, and when she got back, boom, I popped a question. I knew. She knew. And we've been married 33 years in October. 33 years. Well, that was like a polite golf clap. Thank y'all. Should we clap at that? I don't know. I guess so. Look, I'm not saying it's been without. We've never had an argument. I'll never tell you that lie. And I'm not saying it's all been smooth sailing. But you know what? We knew. You know, that was something our parents always told us. Oh, when you meet them, you'll know. And let me tell you something. When you're praying, you're asking God, and you're waiting on God to bring them, and God brings them, you'll know. You'll know. And we knew. And we were married 4 months later, and would have done it. I'd have been like a month, but you know, got to make plans and all that stuff, I guess, for the wedding. So we did. But here's the deal. Don't get caught in a trap. When you're praying, asking God for something, and you believe that God's told you, yeah, this is something that's in accordance with his will. Don't get suckered in by something that's a counterfeit. I can make this work. I can make this fit. That's not from God. That's not how it works. When it's from God, it fits. Okay? So be willing to wait. And if it's worth asking God for, it's worth waiting. Now, Psalm 35, 7 through 8. I did them no wrong, but they laid a trap for me. I did them no wrong, but they dug a pit to catch me. You know, the enemy's out there trying to trap you. One of the things that amazes me, I don't know about you, but I get scam calls, scam, you know, emails, and man, they get better and better at it. And you're like, man, is this legit? And it's kind of, it's kind of amazing to realize there are people out there that spend every day trying to figure out how to cheat somebody. And there are going to be traps that are going to be laid. And they're always going to, don't get fooled by persuasive language, you know, by the words sometimes. You really got to look past the words and see the facts. In Proverbs 6, 23 through 27, for their command, and that's talking about, it's talking about wisdom, and their instruction a light. Their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. It will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. Now, there's another passage, we're going to talk about that in a minute, where it talks about smooth and glowing words. And there are passages in Scripture where it talks about that come from men. So it's not directed at women or whatever, because both men and women use language that is flowery. It's flattery. Beware of flattery. Beware of people that come up and make you out to be more than you are. Beware of people that want to skip, you know, certain things. Beware of language, and don't allow that to influence you. Always compare that to the Word of God. You know, when somebody comes up to you and well, you know, you ask them, yeah, I'm a Christian. Find out for sure. Do they know Jesus? Do they have a relationship with Christ? There's lots of people that tell you they're Christian because they were born in America. I guarantee you they're out there. I've talked to them. And so find out, do they know Jesus? And not only that, are they demonstrating by their life that they know Jesus? You know, look beyond the words and see, what are the actions here? Do they line up? Now, not nobody's going to be perfect. There's going to be a little bit here, there. Everybody sins, everybody messes up. Everybody struggles with something. But on the whole, does their life, the way they live, mesh with the way, who they say they are? Be careful. Then there's in Romans 16, 17 through 18, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ, our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. You know, I've never, it still shocks me today. This is not the way it was when I grew up. And even, you know, 25 years ago, I wouldn't have said this. But honestly, for every person, every guy that I know, and I don't know them all, trust me, that's out there that's preaching the word, there's 10 others that are preaching a false gospel, at least. It's, you need to be very discerning about what you let into your mind, into your heart, into your ears, whether it's through podcasts, through sermons from other places, whatever. Be very, very careful and be very discerning. And here's one of the things that you need to look for, okay? Do you consistently feel convicted by what you're hearing? Oh man, they're right. I can see that in the Word of God. And I need to line my life up with the Word of God. Or is it consistently, man, it makes me feel good. I like the way it makes me feel. I feel up. Hey, there are times the Word of God should uplift you. I hope that happens here. I hope that you do feel uplifted at times. But if that's all you're getting is a feeling, then I'm failing. And do not listen to people that are by smooth talk and glowing words promising you something they can't deliver on or vying on your feelings all the time. Stay away from them, okay? And make sure, you know, one of the other things you got to be careful about, and I'm not saying you can't have some of everything, but be careful about the intermixture between politics and following Christ, okay? And I understand as believers, we are to be active in our system, okay? But be careful about people that want to spiritualize or every political person, okay? This person's from God. This person's sent from God to do this. Be very careful about that, okay? And our loyalty is to be to God first, always and ever. Okay? Here's my stance on you want to know my politics? I'm going to vote for the person that is closest to what I, has the platform that's closest to what I believe is right and godly and biblical. It's probably not going to be necessarily a godly man running. I think it'd be really hard for somebody that really loves Jesus first and foremost to succeed in politics in America today. Okay. Now, does that mean that, they're all wicked people? I'm not saying that. I am saying be careful, okay, about putting too much on someone who's a politician and who's running for office. We need to make wise decisions about who we put in charge. And you know what? I get it. There's a battle going on politically, but we need to be careful about where we are. That can be a trap that can actually pull us away from God, pull us away from Christ. My biggest thing is, all right, you know, God, what is it that you want to happen here? And I'm always going to be on God's side. That's what we need to determine up front, is that we're always going to be on God's side. But we also need to remember, when Joshua went out before they fought the Battle of Jericho, he saw a warrior standing out there with a sword. And he said, are you for us or our enemies? And he said, I'm for neither one. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Even when it was God's people versus the city of Jericho they were about to destroy, when he asked him, whose side are you on? I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I'm on God's side. Now, God brought victory to them, but the captain of the Lord's host was loyal to him and him alone. Okay? And we should follow that example. And that was an appearance of Jesus. That most scholars, and I believe as well, that was Jesus that appeared on the earth. And there are several times that's happened throughout Scripture. So be careful about being deceived by smooth talk and glowing words, okay? And one of the things that really amazes me is I've seen a number of people through the years that were solid in their teaching for even decades, and at some point something's happened and now they've fallen away from the things of God and fallen away from God's truth. And it's difficult to see. And so here's the thing that I would tell you. I hope that you've heard biblical teaching up to this point. But if you ever hear me teach something not biblical, I want you to come and confront me with it. Come talk to me about it. Maybe it's a misunderstanding, or maybe I'm out of line and need to be corrected. But do not place all your trust in me, okay? Always check what I'm saying with the Word of God. And beware of anybody that tries to tell you that they are telling you something that you can't understand or see in the Word of God, that they've been given some kind of special dispensation to come along and they're sharing with you something that nobody else knows out of the Scripture. That is in, I'm just going to use a Greek word, bull hockey, okay? That is not true. You have the Holy Spirit. He came to teach you and lead you all things. So there should be nothing that I teach or anyone else you listen to teaches that you should not be able to see clearly in the Word of God, period. Okay? All right, man, you got me on my, you got me going here now. So I'm going to tell you another example of a trap. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 through 6, the children of Israel have defeated Jericho by God's hand. They were defeated by the nation of Ai, and it was because there was sin in the camp. They took care of that. They went back and they defeated them all by God's power. And then they came back, and here's the deal. God had told them, don't make peace with anybody in the promised land. You gotta wipe them out because they all worshiped other gods. And God's randomly going to pull them out. There were hundreds of years before, God had said, hey, this is the land, but it's not, their iniquity is not yet full. God was still giving them. He gave them hundreds of years to repent, hundreds and thousands of opportunities, and they didn't. And so now he's saying, wipe them all out, or they'll drag you down and they will destroy you. Here's the deal. You can't make friends with sin. All right. Now, this one nation decided, man, they're going to beat us. And so here's what they did in verses 3 through 6. When the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn out patched sandals and ragged clothes. And the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." Now, here's the deal. The people of Israel, I would assume, thought, there's no way anybody would go to this much trouble. I mean, who are we? We've just beaten two cities. That's all. And they got together and they said, "Well, I mean, look at their clothes. They had to come from a long way. Look at their bread. It's dry and moldy." They looked at things on the surface, but you know what they never did? They never sought the counsel of God. And so they made an agreement with the Gibeonites that they would be their servants, but that they would spare their lives, thinking they had come from way outside of the promised land. But they didn't. They were from within. Now, here's the thing. When the Gibeonites went home, all the other people who were mad at them for making peace with the Israelites, they all ganged up and went to kill them, to destroy Gibeon, because they were mad. And Joshua got word. Here's the other thing. If you do fall into a trap, don't compound a wrong. Don't do wrong trying to correct what you've done wrong. Do what's right. No matter what you did 20 minutes ago or 20 years ago or 20 days ago, choose to do the right thing now. You see, when you continue to do wrong to try to cover up old wrongs or to fix them, all you do is make things worse. So Joshua got word that they were being attacked, and they had made an agreement to protect them. And so here's what, you know, they were about a day and a half's march away. And it would have been easy for Joshua to say, "Hey guys, the Gibeonites are under attack. We've got to go protect them. So, you know, y'all, I don't know, go home, get a good night's sleep, take a half a day packing, and we'll head out about noon or 12 o'clock or 4 or 5 tomorrow, whatever." All he had to do was be slow. All he had to do was do nothing. But he made an agreement. And even though God had confronted them with their sin that they shouldn't have made an agreement with the Gibeonites, here's what Joshua did. He packed up his army and they moved out right then, and they marched all night to get to Gibeon to fight against their enemies. And here's something that I want you to see about why it's so important to do the right thing, even after you've been trapped, even when you've been deceived, even when you blew it. "Man, I didn't ask God. Gosh, why did I do this?" There's always going to be another temptation to do another wrong to get out of the first wrong. You ever notice how that works? Joshua did exactly what he should have done. He did the right thing. And they began to fight all the nations that were attacking Gibeon. And you know what? They were exhausted from marching all night. And at one point, Joshua said, "God, give us enough daylight to finish the task." And you know what God did? He made the sun stand still in the sky and allowed the Israelites to finish to defeat their enemies. And the Bible says that God sent down huge hailstones on the enemies of Israel, and that more were killed by the hailstones from God than were killed by the swords of Israel. You see, here's the deal. God doesn't want you to do something wrong to get out of the last wrong you did. Even when you fell for a trap, even when you blew it, even when you know, sometimes you look back and you go, "Man, why did I do that? That was so dumb. How did I get sucked into that?" Do the right thing now. And as a result of Joshua, out of a huge mistake and a huge failure in leadership, he did the right thing now, and they saw something that nobody has seen before and has seen since, is God causing the sun to stand still in the sky and fighting for them against their enemies. And God made a great victory out of what could have easily been another huge mistake. And so that's the thing about these bunnies, these things that seem innocent, that even seem good. "Well, you know, I got a warm body that wants to marry me. I got a job, it pays. I found this, you know, I was asking God for this, and I can make this fit. I can make this work. That's not from God. But even when we do fall for it, don't compound it by doing wrong to try to fix it. Do the right thing. And so that's the only way to move forward with God, the only way to move forward with a clear conscience. And it's also showing great faith. Romans 8, 28, he works all things to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, the Israelites made a big mistake, but God worked it to their good because they repented and they did right from that moment on. And God brought a great victory out of a failure of leadership. And so, you know, we need to beware of these things that on the surface we think, man, I've got an answer, or this is close. And trust God and wait until it really fits. And when we do get deceived, do the right thing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? You know, for those who are here, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want to share with you how to begin one. And so, here's what it takes. It's simple. Three things. A, you got to admit you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's required. We got to ask God's forgiveness for our sins. B, you got to believe in Jesus. Jesus came and walked on this earth. He was fully man and fully God. And that's a mystery that we will never fully understand. But here's what we do know. He was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. And because he was without sin, when he died on the cross, he was able to die in my place and in yours. He died for my sins and he died for your sins. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe that he rose from the grave, like the Bible tells us. And then the last thing, C, is you got to confess him as Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you are here today and you would like to know that you have peace with God, that your sins have been forgiven, and that you belong to him forever, you'll always be his, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer of salvation. And you can repeat this after me. Just pray it in your heart. God will hear you. But pray it with me now. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me, and thank you for Jesus. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and my life and cleanse me. I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he rose on the third day. So today, I trust Jesus as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to speak in front of everyone. But here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to pray for you. And so if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, I'm just going to ask that you look up at me and keep looking until I see you. So look up at me right now if you prayed that prayer today, okay? See you. All right. Okay. Let's see you. All right. So right now, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you that we have people that love to talk to you and answer any questions and talk to you about the next steps in following Christ. There's a number on your screen. There's a QR code on the screen, also in your bulletin. You can contact us through either one of those. We'd love to set up a time to answer questions. We don't want anything from you. We just want to help you. And we'd love to hear from you. So please let us know. Tell someone. You made a decision today to trust Christ. So now I want to pray for you and pray for each of us that God would help us to avoid those traps that we come across in life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus. And Father, I thank you for those that made a decision today to trust you. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them, that you'd help them to find the right church, whether it's here or somewhere else, that they can grow in their faith and learn with other believers. And Father, I thank you for allowing us to be a part of their spiritual journey. Lord, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. You can find links to topics and scriptures discussed in this episode by looking at the show notes. You can find more information online at greenwood.church. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email to info@greenwoodbc.com.